want to look at this fourth type of soil, and I want to focus this evening on the power and the grace of God. That's what this is teaching us, this part of the parable, the area where the good soil is. It is teaching us about the power of God and the grace of God. How is it that there was good soil at all? Now, of course, in agriculture, the good soil is there. I guess you would find a farm with different types of soil, and there is good soil. But remember, we're talking about the human heart. We're talking about human beings here. And it isn't the case that there just are some people on earth who just are naturally more receptive to the word of God and just naturally by themselves more responsive to the word of God. We mustn't think like that. The Bible will not allow us to think like that, that there are some people here on earth whose hearts are hard as rock, and other people who are easily waylaid by the world, and other people who give up when persecution come, and there are other people who just naturally are like this. They're just very responsive to the word of God. They're receptive to the word of God. And that's just how they are naturally in and of themselves. We mustn't think like this. The Bible speaks about the human heart. And the Bible says that the human heart is dead. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Ephesians, and the Apostle said, before God worked on your hearts, you were dead in sins and trespasses. And then he says, we all, speaking as a Jew, we all, he says, live the same kind of lives. You see, he's saying it's not the case that some people, because of where they were born, or because of their parents, or because they have that kind of personality, that kind of character, they just are more responsive and more receptive to the word of God. The Bible doesn't allow us to hold such views. The Bible says we are all naturally in and of ourselves unresponsive to the word of God. We will not respond to it. So this part of the parable then isn't speaking about the natural human heart that some people have. It is speaking about the grace of God and the power of God. How is it that when the gospel is preached, yes, there are people with hard hearts, and we know about them. And there are people who give up when persecution comes. And there are people who are waylaid by the world. But how come when the gospel is preached, there are those who receive it, genuinely receive it? How come there are those who not only receive it, but respond to it in the appropriate way and produce fruit, the fruit of repentance and the fruit of faith in Jesus Christ? And the fruit of a transformed life into the image of Jesus Christ. How does this happen? Is it by chance? Is it because some people are naturally like that? No, the Bible says this is the work of God. It is because God has removed the heart of stone. And it is because God has given that person a heart of flesh. There's no other reason. That's a prophecy in Ezekiel where God says, I will remove the heart of stone and I will give them a heart of flesh. And in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul writing to the Ephesians, you were dead in sins and trespasses, but because of his rich in love, God, who is great in mercy, made you alive. It is by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of your own. The Apostle Paul writing to the Corinthians, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. Behold, the old has gone and the new has come. Now, both those passages teach us that this is the work of God. We are a new creation. We have been created anew. Ephesians 2:10. We have been created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. So you see, it's the passive voice. It's not that we created ourselves anew. It's not that we made ourselves born again. It's not that we removed the heart of stone and gave ourselves the heart of flesh. The Bible always puts it as the work of God. We are the new creation of God. God has created us anew. So this passage, or this part of the parable then, speaks about the power of God and the grace of God. Now, very, very briefly, we see it in three ways. We see it firstly in the way that God does remove the heart of stone and give the heart of flesh. This is the power of God. God removes that dead, sinful, unresponsive heart, and God gives a new heart. God makes us regenerate. He makes us born again. He gives us a heart that is responsive to his word. It's a secret work of the Holy Spirit. That's why in his introduction, the Apostle John in his gospel, he says we are born not of a human decision, but of God. We are born of God. God makes us born again. So we see this in the power of God and the grace of God, that God removes the heart of stone and gives us the heart of flesh. Now, this is tremendously encouraging for prayer. We all know people who are unconverted, family members, friends, colleagues, neighbors. And when you look at them, they show no interest in the gospel whatsoever. We all know people like that. Perhaps you have family members like that. And you seek to speak to them about the gospel, and there just is no interest whatsoever. There's not even the slight amount of, oh, I wonder how what happened to you and why you are the kind of person you are. Nothing like that. But you know, that's what we all were. I was like that at one time, and you were like that at one time. You may not remember it, but there was a time when we were dead in sins and trespasses, and there was a time when we were not interested in the gospel. I don't remember anybody talking to me about the gospel. Now, they must have, as I've mentioned before, I knew Christians when I was an undergraduate. I knew Christians, and I'm sure they spoke to me. But I don't remember any of it. I had no interest whatsoever. Why should I respond to the gospel? And you were like that. And yet God removed the heart of stone and gave us the heart of flesh. God gave us a heart that responds to the gospel. You have unsaved friends and relatives and colleagues and neighbors. Always pray. Evangelism begins with prayer. Yes, we must speak and we must live holy lives, but prayer, because it's God's work to change the heart. And never give up on anybody. Never say to yourself, well, of course, that person is totally beyond salvation. No one is beyond salvation. There was a discussion that Jesus had with his disciples when the rich young ruler turned away sad and went. You remember he had challenged Jesus. Jesus had responded to him, and Jesus had made known to him the demands of the gospel, and he'd gone away sad. And Jesus said how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And his disciples said, well, who then can be saved? And Jesus says, with man this is impossible, but not with God. With God, nothing is impossible. So never give up praying. We must always pray for the unconverted. We have a family service coming this Sunday, and invitations have gone out. And pray for those who have been invited. Pray for people in Cleveland. Somebody might see that notice on the church door or in Tesco's or on our website, and they might think, well, I'll go along to this, because this is the work of God. God does this work. So please make it a matter of prayer. Let's not be found of God not praying, but please pray, because God changes hearts. So we see the power and the grace of God in that he changes hearts. But we also see the power and the grace of God in that he uses his word to bring salvation to the lost. He uses his word to bring salvation to the lost. This seed falls into good soil and it germinates and it sends down roots into the soil, and it sends up shoots. Now, does this all happen automatically? Well, it is God at work. The person hears the word, and the word is now lodged in their heart. It is still the work of God. You know what Paul says to the Corinthians? He says, one man sows, another waters, God gives the growth. He's talking about gospel ministry, because they were saying, oh, Apollos is a better preacher and Paul is a better preacher. And Paul is saying, why do you talk like this? We're all servants. God is the one who does the work. What is Paul? What is Apostle? What is Apollos? One man sows, another waters. God gives the growth. So God uses his power to act upon the word that a person has heard. And that word in that heart germinates and it begins to produce fruit. It's a remarkable thing when you hear people's testimonies that sometimes it can be many years. You sometimes hear of a person saying, I went to Sunday school, I went to a youth club, and I heard the Bible, I heard the gospel. And then I left and I carried on my own work. And after some years, the things that I heard, they began to come back to me. And perhaps somebody gave them a tract, and there was a verse on that tract, and they'd heard that verse many years back. Perhaps they heard some story or a testimony and it rang a bell, because they'd heard something years back. The devil hadn't stolen it. God had protected it. It was in the heart. And God then makes it to grow. God germinates it. And perhaps after some years, a person then responds to the gospel and becomes a Christian. It is the work of God. It is the power of God and the grace of God. We've had many come through COPS, through Sunday school, Good News Club, BASE, or various kinds of ministries. And the word of God has been faithfully taught. And there are people today in Clevedon who have been taught the word of God in COPS Road Chapel. Now, is it the case that every one of them, the devil has stolen the word? I don't think so. Surely God does protect his word. And we must always pray that God does protect his work, and God will cause that word to germinate and to produce fruit. There are testimonies, I'm sure you've heard them, and I've heard them. There are testimonies like this. Something reminds a person, and they become a Christian. I think the most famous is John Newton. And Newton, when he was 6 years old, his mother died. And then in his 30s, or maybe even later, he became a Christian. And he says, I remember the verses my mother had taught me. Now, his mother died when he was six. So his mother had taught him scripture in the first 6 years of his life. And then she died. His father was an unbeliever. Father never taught him anything. But there he was in a boat in a crisis. And he says, I remembered the scriptures that my mother had taught me. Actually, he also says, and I remembered Dr. Watts's hymns. Isaac Watts's hymns. His mother had obviously taught him hymns. And how God uses all this, you see. And he became a Christian after many years, 30 plus years of hearing the word of God. So the power and the grace of God in changing hearts, and the power and the grace of God in causing his word to germinate. And then thirdly, the power and the grace of God in bringing forth fruit. Jesus says this seed fell on good soil, and it produced fruit, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Now, why is it that people produce fruit? How is it that a person actually repents and trusts in Jesus Christ? Well, the Bible says repentance is a gift of God, and the Bible says faith is a gift of God. So even responding to the gospel and coming to Christ and feeling sorry for our sin, turning from our sin, repenting of our sins and coming to Christ in faith. Yes, it is our work. We must always urge everyone to repent and believe. But we must also remember it is the gift of God. And when the person becomes a believer, how come that person then lives a fruitful life? How come they serve the Lord? How come they're devoted to the Lord? How come they join a local church? And they use their gifts in the local church? And they're committed to that local church? And they love the people of that local church and want to serve the people of that local church? And they want to use whatever gifts God has given them for the good of others, for the benefit of others in that local church? How come all this happens? Is it because we're very clever people? No. Is it because we're dynamic and energetic and full of a zeal in our own natural hearts? No. It is of God. It is God the Holy Spirit who comes to live in us. The day we're converted, God the Holy Spirit comes to live in us. And we produce the fruit of the Spirit. And so we go through a change in character. We become more and more like Jesus because the Holy Spirit bears fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. A Christ-like character develops, emerges. There is this metamorphosis going on, and the person is being changed from one degree of glory to another, the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians. There is this transformation going on, this gradual change, because God is at work producing fruit in us. And we become active in God's ministry, active in church life, because God is at work. How come you have a passion to pray for somebody? Perhaps you have a desire that you're going to go and visit somebody. Just knock on the door and say hello at the door. Just make sure they're okay. Well, you see, it's God who gives us these desires, because it is all of God. Now, we are to seek him, of course, and we are to keep in step with the Spirit as he leads us into the ways of holiness. But it is of God. So this is all about the power of God and the grace of God. God changes hearts. God uses his word to cause his, to germinate and to bring forth fruit. All of it in the power and the grace of God. Well, brethren, let's pray this evening. Let's pray for those who are unconverted, that God would change their hearts. Let's pray for those who've heard the gospel, that God would cause his word to bring forth fruit. And let's pray for ourselves that we would live fruitful lives for the sake of Christ.